We're just going to carry on with the worship done. We're just going to carry on with the praise just sung in this church. It's not like it ended and now something new. It's just going to continue with something that's been in my heart. And I journeyed this with God in the last 2-3 days. It was one of those moments where you're like, Lord, why don't you just send me the notes? And we do that. And I was to and fro, but it's still stuck in a certain way. So we're going to roll as we're going to roll in this day with the Holy Spirit. So what I want to just mention once again is maybe you've missed it, but this church has been called to reach 400 people. You might not believe it. You might not feel it, but I want you to know it in this day. With no jokes, no grappies, we've been called to reach 400 souls. And to be quite honest, it's quite, I think, modest when it comes to the bigger picture of what we've been called for as believers of God. You see, there's a thing we spoke on last week, and it's a simple word, which is pursue. And we say that we are supposed to pursue as individuals. We are supposed to pursue as believers in Christ. We are supposed to pursue things in our lifetime while the hearts and our bodies beat. We are supposed to pursue. But you see, the word pursue actually means something. It means to continue or proceed along a certain path. It is not just walking around in the desert having no idea where you're heading. It's not you climbing in a pool and you just swim and you have no idea what you're doing. It's not you on a boat in the middle of the ocean and you hope you reach some stage, a place where you can just climb out of the boat. You see, to pursue is to proceed along a specific path. See, I believe that this church, we've been called to be in an active pursuit of things. You see, a pursuit, its definition is an activity of a specified kind. You see, when you ask the world, what will pursuit be in this world? They will tell you a lot of things. It's the pursuit of money. It's to pursue maybe a physical love. It's to pursue riches even. It's maybe just to, I want to be happy. If I can buy that combi and just drive through the country and eat squirrels, then I'm happy. You see, that's a pursuit, but it's a worldly thing. When I in this day say pursuit, it's, yes, use your talents and your gifts in this world. Yes, provide for your family. Yes, have a job. Pursue those things. Pursue promotion. Yes, but when we declaim and we declare that we are believers of Jesus and we followers of Him, if we believe the Word of God, pursuit and to pursue means different things to us as believers. You see, in the Spirit, it means something. It means that they should be we should proceed along a path which is specifically identified for us as believers, and we should then pursue that. We should aim at that. We should walk along that path. We should aim at the end of that road. We should know that we are called as believers to pursue the things of God. See, this is activity. To pursue is active. To have a pursuit is forward movement. It is motion. So this fell into my heart. There's two things that Jesus left us with the moment He ascended to heaven, the moment He left this earth after the crucifixion in Easter. That day He left His church with a pursuit. And we touched on it last week. The first one, above all things, was love God. You see, in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, it says, Jesus replied, so Jesus spoke and He left this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, that's your whole being. And with all your soul, that's your whole being. And with all your mind. And that's where the challenge comes in. This is the first and greatest commandment. You see, that is something Jesus left to humanity as a whole for the rest of our lives. He says, pursue this. Be in pursuit, an active journey, an active path for loving God. And then secondly, He left us with the Great Commission. And this church, our values and all core and everything we do is based upon this commandment. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You see, Jesus left the church, you and me, individuals, with not just drifting on the ocean in a boat with no wind. He said that if you have a vision, you will not perish. And he left the people that believes in him, his church, with the words of pursue this, love God, and go live the Great Commission. You might have, in the last month or year even, maybe 5 years, you might have experienced a moment in your life where you're like, why am I here? Why am I breathing? And we've mentioned this before, but this is the answer, because there's an active pursuit spoken into the lives of those who believe in Christ. So even though the money is not according to your wishes and what you want, there's still a spiritual pursuit spoken into your being that you are created to love God. And because you love God, you will go out and love others and you will make them disciples. See, that's a call to pursuit. That is a pathway that is paved out. That is God saying, this is the beginning, this is the road ahead, and that is the end. For when you pursue, I will be with you all of the days till the end of the time. See, Jesus speaks now for what's still to come, right? See, in your life, you need to get this. That even though your worldly pursuit, your worldly dreams, your ideals, your vision for this physical life, even though it's not on scratch with where you want to be, the pursuit has been spoken into your heart and life as a believer already. God's already stated where you are, what should happen, and where it will end. You cannot get out of bed in the morning and go, I have no hope, because knowing where Christ is going to take you is enough hope. Knowing where you will end in His presence, where He is, that should be enough hope for your day. Lord, I don't have enough money, but I've got you because I know the road ahead. Sounds like a country song. Yeah? It should get us out of bed. You see, and then last week we touched on this guy, Joshua. And I want you to get out your Bibles, your apps, your whatever, and go to Joshua 6. See, I mentioned this last week, and we just touched upon how God used him when it came to the word in vision, where God said, Joshua, see. S-E-E, see, Joshua. Geik. But you see, when you study the word see in verse 2, you'll find it. God didn't say just see, look. God literally said, listen, hello. Envision. You see, God is calling right there on faith. God is calling right there on you actively seeing something that's not a reality yet. So read with me, Joshua 6, verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, see. Envision this, imagine this, have faith, and imagine what I'm going to say. I have given Jericho, a big city, a trade post, riches above riches. It was the middle place where people will travel through to Canaan, the promised land. It was the place where people meet and they just bring whatever they have and they store it there. It was a place of awesomeness, all right, that city. I have given Jericho into your hand with its kings and the mighty warriors. Now, let me just take you to the moment of Jericho back in the day. They had a big trench around this big city. Then they had walls that is so thick you cannot bormel them with thanks. It was a massive fortress where people lived and stayed on the inside. But when God spoke this into the life of Joshua, with him was all the Israelites, God's people. He was leading these people throughout the desert, throughout God's journey. He was involved in God's path. He was busy actively proceeding. He was in a pursuit of what God already said. And then God said, Joshua, so there's Jericho. And he could see in that day, in a distance, Jericho, the city. There's still enemy in there. There's still a king in there. There's still walls. There is still riches, but it's still theirs. Yet God speaks in that moment when he sees the city from a distance and he says, I have given. It's already yours, yet they are still in there. See, God spoke into Joshua and the Israelites' lives, and he said, I've delivered you 40 years ago from the Egyptians. I've just killed your enemy in the sea where it closed over them and they drowned. I'm the God of miracles in your life. So believe when I say the pursuit is going to end well. There's a city, it's already yours. And it's not just the walls, it's not the houses, it's the kings, it's the soldiers. Everything in it will be yours. So God tells him how. God shares in this moment the promise and the path. And then he continues in verse 3 with the how will you do this? See, this is a God of detail for the pursuit. Verse 3, he says, now you shall march around the city. All the men of war circling the city once. You shall do this once each day for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets made of ram's horns ahead of the ark. Then, on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall carry out with a great shout, a battle cry of praise. So God speaks and he says, you see that there where the enemy lives? That looks like it's kind of intimidating almost. Big walls, huge place, trenches, it's already yours. But you still need to go and take what's yours. You still need to walk there. You still need to do something to receive what's yours, right? And then God says, this is how you're going to make it yours. And God speaks into the lives of all those people. And he says, this is the plan for your promise. This is the plan for your path. This is the pursuit you need to be active in. And this is what you physically need to do. And then God says, if you do this, if you follow the how, let me tell you the what. And the wall of the city will fall down, Joshua, in its place. And the people shall go up, each man going straight ahead, climbing over the rubble. God tells him exactly where they are. He tells them where they will end. And then he basically plots it out from where they are till there. And he just tells them, walk this path. Pursue this. If you pursue this, Joshua, your men will walk over the rubble where all the walls fell down if you do what I say. So here we have Joshua. Here we have the Israelites wandering in a desert where God just spoke into their lives once again, where he says, I've got your back. Here's the path. Here's the goal. Pursue this. They have literally just overcame the enemies of Egypt. And guess what? If you study the word, you will see that the people of the city was really afraid of them. Because they heard of what happened just now. They've heard not of the Israelites. They did not hear of Joshua. They heard what the King of Kings and the God of the Israelites just did to the enemies of Joshua and the Israelites. They died. See, God said to Joshua, envision this. Before it happens, envision this. Have faith in this. Have faith in my words. Have faith in the path, the pursuit. For when, then? Made me think of our lives. We oftentimes, when we get to the specific pursuit, we question the what, we question the how, we question then what. Where God oftentimes just says, that's where you'll end. Just keep on going. But there's times where God says, back down and just be quiet. So let me read verse 6. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called for the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, that's God's presence, and have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets made of ram's horns ahead of the Ark of the Lord. He said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men go ahead of the ark of the Lord. And if it was so, that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets made of ram's horns went on before the Lord and blew the trumpets. So here they are, walking around the city. It's a big city. It takes some time. And they're blowing on the trumpets according to what God laid out, according to the pursuit spoken, according to the path given. They acted upon it. On before the Lord and blew the trumpets. Then the ark of the covenant of the Lord went behind them. The armed men went in front of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout the battle cry, nor let your voice be heard, not let a word come out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. So Joshua had the ark of the Lord taken around the city on the first day, circling it once. Then they came back into the camp, and guess what? Spent the night in the camp. So get this. Here's God, who can do anything. Nothing is impossible for Him. He can give the city in a blink of an eye of a human being, and we are in it, and everyone else disappeared. Yet God speaks a path into the lives of Joshua that demands activeness, that demands being proactive, that demands the faith and the obedience of what God called and spoke. And then when they do this, God says, so you only do this once for 6 days. Imagine this. I imagine some of my friends. So we do this. It's warm. Kom mama, ons gaan loop. Okay. And we walk. But no word, no peep, no niks. Keep the children quiet. Only their horns, the trumpets will be blown. Only that. And you walk in silence. It takes an hour. And then you go like, okay, what? No. And then the leader says, let's go back to camp and just sit there. So for 6 days, they are called to a place to be active for only a little while. Be obedient only for a little while in the path spoken, the pursuit given. And then it's like God saying, okay, no, sit here and wait. Have we ever invited you to prayer meets where we pray and then we say, okay, go home? But I felt it in church. No, no, go home. It's over. But I want to stay here. I want to stay in what you said. I want to stay in church because of the message. I want to just keep going here. No, no, go home. You see, God is calling in the moment in the lives of Joshua and the Israelites, testing their hearts if they will actively pursue the pathway which is specifically laid out. Because of obedience and love of God. And then he says, when you do this, go back and just sit. Just wait. How many times do you, as a church, pursue the silent moments of the active pursuit? Do you get this? When you go back from walking around the walls of your Jericho and you go back into your workplace, you go back into your house, you climb in your car once again and it's routine over and over, yet there's no prayer, there's no church, there's no pastor, there's no Bible, you're doing your life, God did not disappear. The path did not change. The word spoken was still active. You are in the quietness of going back to your camp, still in pursuit. But it matters how you wait. Because here's the thing about people. I'm surprised that this story actually went down the way it did. I know crazy people that on the third day will jump up with their swords and say, I cannot wait anymore. You crazy Joshua. And they grab their sword and run towards the city. Wah, freedom. I know people like that. I've seen it in the lives of Israel throughout their journey where people did what they wanted to do because why should I go back to camp and waste another 23 hours that I can actually do something? Why just sit and wait? Let me tell you this. God calls in the active pursuit for moments where we should have faith in the waiting on the pursuit. There's moments where we should have faith in being silent, keeping our mouth shut, and we trust what God already said. That's why God started when He said, "See, Joshua." Because in the silent moments, you do not look at the seats, you do not look at the stage, you go and you look at what you already envision God saying. They had to go back to the camps for a good reason. God tested their hearts. He tested their hearts. There they sat, verse 12. Then Joshua got up early in the morning on the second day, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets made of ram's horns ahead of the ark of the Lord went on continually blowing the trumpets. And the armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guards came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued to blow the trumpets. On the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. How many times are you doing the same? And you might feel frustrated, and you might feel left alone, or you might feel excluded. You might feel God's not moving, yet you are in the silence of that moment, sitting in the camp, busy with an active pursuit. If God said, pray about this, and you prayed and you're done praying, it doesn't mean there's no pursuit anymore. What you've prayed, what you've said, what you've conveyed is still going on. It's still flowing. It's still moving. Why will I encourage you on this day to do the same thing over and over, maybe for a little while, and then just be silent? You see, because there's a path, there is a God that said, like with Joshua in verse 2, "See, I have given Jericho." You see, a promise was spoken, an outcome noted, a path laid out, but there was a day and a time where they had to move into a place where they shouted, where they raised their voice, where they stood up, where they almost all the frustration of the silence of the 6 days, where they just let a rip in that seventh day, and the moment became real, real quickly. Let me read this. Verse 15. Then on the seventh day, they got up early at daybreak and marched around the city in the same way 7 times. Only on that day, they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." For on that day, they actually next to the city. In that day, they literally in the moment that God spoke of days ago. It's now here. And then He says, "Shout, for He's given the city. The city and everything that is in it shall be under the ban that is designated to be destroyed as a form of tribute to God. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all the people whom are with her shall be spared. But as for you, keep yourselves away from the things under the ban, that is the things of God." And then verse 20, so the people shouted the battle cry, and the priests blew the trumpets. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they raised a great shout, and the wall of Jericho fell down, so that the sons of Israel went up into the city, every man straight ahead, climbing over the rubble. And that day became their city. We do not march around physical buildings anymore in our lives. But I guarantee that in your life, in your heart and mind in this day, you have a Jericho. You see, Jericho was a rich and a well-known city. It was a trade post. It was a valuable entity for any king. It was the midway. It's like Harry Smith on your way to Durban. Everyone stopped there. Who controlled that city will control the minds and the lives of everyone before it and after it. It was a great city. but it was also filled, and if you study the word, you'll see this, with harlots, prostitutes, witches, soothsayers. It was filled with liars, murderers, those who deceive people. They were filled. But the moment the city heard of the Israelites and Joshua, oh, back there, guess what? They locked up the city, the word says. And no one came in and no one left, because they in that day realized that what's on the inside of the city is not godly. And the people of God, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant is on this way to the city. We've got problems. So they wanted to build the walls higher. Oh, they enclosed every door and entrance. But God said, see, this is yours. Joshua, here's the path. Here's the pursuit. This is yours. The victory is yours. Even though there's witches, don't be afraid. Even though these liars who will try to see, don't be afraid. It's already yours. Oh, but there's a king. Oh, the king is yours as well. The head of it all is yours as well. The one with the plans, it's yours as well. But guess what, church? Joshua had to walk there. Joshua had to spend time there. Joshua had to do what God wanted him to do, even just 1 hour a day, and then go and sit in the silence. But there was a seventh day where God said, now. And he shouted around that city of Jericho. Oh, the people on the inside fell. Fear fell into their hearts, knowing that here is God. We've got problems. But the walls tumbled. No tank. No warriors chiseling away at the rocks and the stones. A pursuit of praise. A pursuit of praise made the walls crumble. God said, if you praise me with the trumpets, and you praise me with a shout, and you lift my name on high around the walls, it will crumble. You and I have Jerichos in our lives, and we sometimes build the walls ourselves to keep the things on the inside so no one sees it. But I tell you in this day that God says, in the pursuit of Him, in the pursuit of praise, you need to let the walls crumble, and you need to take ownership of that ground and declare it holy. But just like that, there's murderers that spoke into your life. There's liars that spoke into your life. There's people who deceived you in your life, and it's still stuck. It's there. You know what? The enemy is yours. The guy who made the plan, the guy who stole from you, the person who spoke against you, the kings of Jericho is yours. You have all right to walk around that city, those people in the spirit. You walk and you pray and you walk around them and you say, Lord, every lie that came out of their mouths, I pray that you cut their tongues out and you ruin them, Lord, because the city is mine. I see your victory. I see your power. I see your life. I see me prospering. I see me taking the ground back. It is holy. When last did you pursue praise? When last did you pursue against the Jericho? Because the same thing that was a blessing for the Israelites was the stronghold for the enemy. The same thing. The same thing that intimidated the enemy, the trumpet's horn, the shout of praise, the army walking around the city just for a moment. That intimidation moment was the movement of the believer taking the ground. The same thing. Oh, these people, the moment you start praising God, they want to run because they are caught in the Jericho. They want to stay inside that city with big walls. They want to do what they want to do without any influence. The moment you invite someone, the 400, to a praise moment, they will rather close the gates. But guess what? Jesus said, see these 400. See, the victory is mine. Bring them. It's an act of pursuit. It is a path laid out. starts with loving God, because you will not follow the path of God if you do not love Him. You will not follow through with the path of the 400 if you do not love God. You will be a Jericho yourself, and you will be caught up in the middle of just walls, and you will die. Because there's a day, the word says, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, every mind will know, the rocks of this planet will call out the name of God, because they are alive in His presence. But those who are against will die. Like the people, the witches, the warlocks, the soothsayers, the mediums on the inside of that city, they died because they were against. The same city, a blessing for those who believe, was a downfall for those who did not. You see, you are in your life on the inside of some Jerichos, but you are also on the outside of some promises. It's time that you maybe clean out on the inside. It's time that you on the outside start lifting praise in the presence of our God and let the walls tumble. When last, church, did you pursue God in praise? Because we praise our circumstances a lot more than our God. We will rather praise the good things of our spouse and friends than mention the name of God. God said, walk around the city and you praise me. And on the seventh day, you praise me seven times. Oh, and you praise me until the walls crumble. See, in your heart on this day, I know the Spirit spoke. I know God gave this message for this morning. In your heart and life, there's a Jericho. There's people inside that's supposed to not be there. When last did you raise a praise for your King to remove? Not you, not your plans, but Him. Because it all starts off with God saying, guess what? This is the end. Victory is yours. See, when we pursue God and praise, the Word teaches, the Lord is my strong defender. He is the one who has saved me. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will sing about the greatness. You see, praise and victory is hand in hand. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved by my enemies. Praise and being saved. They sang praises and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His love, loving kindness is upon Israel forever, upon you forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout, with a praise, when they praised the Lord God. My tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. When last, church, did you praise? When last did you pursue that moment of praising Him? When last did you stand up, moved physically into the moment where God is? When last did you kneel and you pursued God in that moment of worship? Because I tell you, on this day, the worship and the praise brings the victory. They did not raise their swords and started breaking down the walls. God did through the praise. You're going to take a moment. We're going to kill the lights. There's three songs God placed upon my heart. And I want you to take a moment to pursue. I want you to be real in this church in this day and look into your heart and life where there's Jerichos. And then if you need to get up in this church today and start walking physically, saying, Lord, today I walk around this Jericho and I praise You rather than the walls, rather than the army behind me, I praise You. This is a moment where you have opportunity to pursue the praise. We bring a praise with us this day. You can make the mountains move. You can break the walls. And even if you don't, Father, we still pursue You. We praise You. We lift Your name on high. So Father, with hearts and hands lifted up, Father, in this presence where you are moving, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will keep on moving forward, that you will keep on releasing, that you will still be God in our lives. But Father, in this day, we know when vision we see that you are at the end of it all. Father, you are in it all. And our hope, Father, does not disappoint. Our hope is in you, Lord. So we stand here, every broken heart, every joyful soul, Father, every circumstance, good or bad, every heart's desire, every want and need, every individual, Father, according to how you made us real in this day. And we bring a praise of hallelujah. We praise you with the heavens in this day. We praise you with the rocks of this earth. We praise you with a shout of praise. So, Father, I pray that the pursuit of praise will never leave us. Plant the seed deep into every heart and life and household, that we will keep on going in the praise. So thank you, Lord, for the victory in it. Thank you, Lord, for the greatness in it. And thank you, Lord, for the path in it. We know you are with us in and through it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray it. Amen and amen.